to the second hour of It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Coplin. It's time for this week's in-depth interview with a special guest from the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome back if you are here with us in the first hour, and welcome if you just joined us. And if this is your first time listening to the show, I wanted to let you know that this is a two-hour show which balances the creative with the intellectual and explores whether we have more in common than divides us. And we do this by featuring thought-provoking conversations both out and about with people on the street in the first hour, and in the second hour with inspiring special guests from the arts. And if you want more information about the show, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. You can find podcasts of all previous shows there, both topics and guests. We've had some great, interesting topics and some wonderful arts guests for you to check out. And you can also connect with me on social media, should you wish. So again, that's itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, this week I'm pleased to be interviewing two special guests from the arts, Wallace Bain, award-winning journalist and writer, and Shmuel Thaler, award-winning photographer and author. Wallace and Shmuel have collaborated to produce a new book, The Creatives Among Us, which celebrates the incredibly rich array of artists concentrated in Santa Cruz County in California. Wallace Bain has been an arts critic, film critic, columnist, and editor for the Santa Cruz Sentinel newspaper since 1991. He is a two-time winner of the National American Association of Sunday and Feature Editors Excellence in Writing competition for his well-known Sunday column, Bain Street, and has won several awards for his arts coverage from the California Newspaper Publishers Association. In addition, he was the winner of the City of Santa Cruz Artworks Award for Leadership in the Arts in 2010. He has been host and director of the annual Gail Rich Awards, which started in 1997, honoring artists and arts supporters in the community in the Santa Cruz area. Wallace's work has been syndicated in newspapers nationwide, and his fiction has appeared in Catamaran Literary Reader and the Chicago Quarterly Review. He is the author of the book Rhymes with Vain, Belabored Humor and Attempted Profundity, and The Last Temptation of Lincoln, a collection of new short stories. Wallace's play, Oscar's Wallpaper, which premiered on stage in Santa Cruz in 2015, is adapted from one of the stories in this book. Shmuel Thaler is an award-winning photographer who graduated from the film school at New York University's Tisch School of the Arts. His photographs have been published in every leading newspaper in the United States, as well as in numerous magazines, including Time, Forbes, and Business Week, and viewed on CBS Evening News and NBC Nightly News. He's been honored three times with awards in the prestigious National Press Photographers Association Best of Photojournalism category, most recently in 2015, as well as receiving regional and state awards. Shmuel is the co-author of five children's books, his photographs illustrating numerous books, including his collaboration with George Levinson on Bread Comes to Life and the classic Pumpkin Circle, which has more than 120,000 copies in print and is held by every major library system in the country. Shmuel's photographic work has been exhibited in one-person shows and group shows, and he has been staff photographer at the Santa Cruz Sentinel newspaper since 1987. Welcome to the show, Shmuel and Wallace.
Thank you.
It's lovely having you. You've spent your lives, both of you, working in the arts. I'm wondering whether you can remember your first encounter with a piece of art, whether writing or visual art, which impressed upon you the power of art to affect people on a deep level rather than just to entertain.
Does television count?
Yes, I think yes. I would count that. Visual art, yes.
I would probably say, you know, if you're talking about the very first impression of art, I would say probably say comic books. You know, I mean, comic books were a big part of my early youth, and they, I think, led me to reading and, you know, from there, everything else. So that was probably my
Well, I think
gateway drug.
It's a very powerful combination of the visual and the written word, isn't it? I mean, you know, that combination is very appealing, I think, also when you're young.
And it's also essentially storyboards for movies.
That's
really what comic books are. And so it gives you sort of an innate sense of narrative and how characters work and how stories work. So I think that's a good way for a writer to begin, is to be kind of immersed in comic books.
Right, absolutely, yeah. That sort of visual thinking of the story.
Right. Well, for me, I grew up in a household where my mother was a painter and my father had been a photographer and was a television producer and director. And so I'm not sure if I connect a specific piece of art, but we were surrounded by it and encouraged to view it and see it. But I think television had a huge part for me. I mean, my first memory, one of my first memories is, and I'm dating myself here, obviously, is the funeral of John F. Kennedy. Mm. And I remember seeing it on television and even then being struck by the power of the image.
Mm.
And so I think that kind of thing and other events like that were really important. And I have a picture. I also have a picture of me with a camera when I was 5 years old.
Oh,
so
wow. Yeah.
There was no turning back, I think.
Well, my next question was going to be, would you say you grew up in a creative environment? It sounds like you would say you did.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and in so many ways. And I went to work with my father quite often and was in the television studio at CBS News. And my mother, being around her with her painting and pottery, and she's a very accomplished person and ended up her career as a university dean. So really encouraged to just do what felt right and what would be creative.
Yeah. It's an interesting question because I know a lot of people I interview have come from a creative background, but then some people really had absolutely no exposure at all, and they've come to it themselves and you know, still become professional artists.
So. Right, and I think that's a bigger leap in some ways.
Yes, yeah. What about you, Wallace?
I wouldn't say that I grew up in a particularly creative environment at home so much, but you know, I did grow up in the 70s during a time in which there was a lot of experimental kind of stuff going on in education. And I remember probably through the fourth through sixth grade or so, there was this kind of open classroom kind of experimentalism. And we had these texts, these teachers would teach us that weren't the traditional stuff. I remember a Richard Brautigan novel. And for those who don't know Brautigan, he was this kind of counterculture figure. And the teacher assigned us this book called In Watermelon Sugar by Richard Brautigan when we were like, 9, 10 years old. And it kind of blew my mind. And, you know, we kind of had a lot of, you know, I had exposure to a lot of those kind of counterculture sort of things in school for that brief period of time when the particular school district I happened to be in was playing around with these sort of post-60s ideas of what education was. So I think that had a pretty profound influence on me to look for inspiration outside kind of the strict middle-of-the-road mainstream.
Well, I think it's certainly helpful not to be brought up with that idea of, oh, you can't make money at that, do a real job. I mean, that's very dampening of anyone's artistic aspirations. So it sounds like neither of you were really struggling against that, at least. But what did, you know, make you want to go into the arts professionally? It's sort of a leap from enjoying it to actually wanting it to be your life.
Well, I was going to say, for me, it was, as I said, I have a picture of me with a camera when I was 5. And I love this picture because my brother's crying and my mother's kind of consoling him. And instead of me going to my brother, I'm deciding to take a picture and record the situation. So it's the birth of me as a photojournalist, I think. And
you heartless monster.
That's right. Wallace knows me all too well. But I, for me at least, there really wasn't ever a whole lot of choice. I just was down that path and was taking pictures all the time when I was a teenager, and then You know, I went to the film school at NYU. I went to art school at SUNY, at State University of New York at Purchase, 1 year doing drawing and painting. And it's just been a really nice transition for me to come from an art school background to become a journalist, because most photojournalists tend to come from photojournalism programs. And
interesting.
So I'm able to use that and that career path.
Yeah. And what about you, Wallace? What drew you into the arts professionally?
Well, generally I came in through it through the avenue of journalism, because I was always interested in newspapering in particular, you know,
yes.
from, you know, a young age, from high school through college on into. And I was hired here in Santa Cruz from a smaller weekly over in Gilroy. And when I came here, I decided that this was such a rich, in you know, an incredibly diverse community when it comes to the creative arts, that I decided that I really wanted to get into that in a way that perhaps I wouldn't have if I had gone to another city of a similar size that didn't quite have that rich cultural background. So a lot of it has to do with Santa Cruz County and just the you know, just the incredible diversity of people here pursuing different creative arts.
Yes. And you both work for a print newspaper, which also has an online version. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the value of printed media when so much is going digital, you know, what the value is of holding a real paper in your hand. I mean, I like to do that, but...
Well, I think a lot of us like to do that.
Yeah.
But I will say it's kind of the horse that's left the barn, that it's not coming back, unfortunately. And I think the process of reading a newspaper in your hand, a hard copy, is very different than reading it online. Online, we click on what we want to read.
Yes.
And when we read a newspaper, we see things that we wouldn't have clicked on.
Absolutely.
That an editor chooses and says, this is important for people to see. And that's one of the reasons I love reading the newspaper.
But sense of discovery is what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
Right? You don't really necessarily get online.
But I think that we're in this the journey now of seeing what digital journalism is going to be, because that's where it's all headed for sure.
Yeah.
You know, the weird thing from my standpoint is in the newspaper business, people still want the news part of it. It's the paper part of it that we're having issues with, because, you know, when you talk about, well, people are going online, but what are they going online for? They're going online for the same stuff we're producing, you know.
Yeah.
Google is not producing this stuff. Yahoo is not producing this stuff. Journalists in daily newspapers are still producing this stuff. It just happens to go into a different thing. And the demand for that is still as high as ever, in my view. I haven't seen that go down at all. It's just that how we deliver it to people and how we make money on that is the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a show on what's the role of professional journalism today, and I think, you know, if anything, it has a greater role, because there's so much on the internet that is not fact-checked, that isn't, you know, subject to the rigorous guidelines of what a journalist would use to produce news. So I would agree with you. If you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. I'm interviewing my special guests from the arts this week, Wallace Bain and Shmuel Thaler. We're going to go to a break now, but we'll be back after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
No white horses to play the game. About you in the rain.
It's a Question of Balance music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
I'm Casey, and I'm the second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guest from the arts this week, Wallace Bain, award-winning journalist and writer, and Shmuel Thaler, award-winning photographer and author. And they've collaborated to produce a new book, The Creatives Among Us, which celebrates the incredibly rich array of artists concentrated in Santa Cruz County in California. And we heard from Bookshop Santa Cruz in the break there, and Wallace and Shmuel will be at Bookshop Santa Cruz, if you're a local, on the 23rd of November at 7 p.m. They're going to be talking about their new book, The Creatives Among Us. I think there's going to be a slideshow. It's going to be a great night. So hopefully you might be able to go along to that 23rd of November. If you go to the Bookshop Santa Cruz website, you can get more information. And also, if you're interested in getting the book, you can go to the website 7angelspress.com. And that's the number 7angelspress.com. And all sales of the book benefit the Arts Council Santa Cruz County and its ongoing support of the Gail Rich Awards, which we're going to be talking about in the interview a bit later when we start talking about the book, The Creatives Among Us. But before we do that, I wanted to go a little bit into Wallace and Shmuel's individual careers, because they both have very long careers in the arts. And Wallace, your career is centered largely around, as well as your own writing about and promoting the arts. And I'm wondering, where does this passion come from to champion other artists?
I would say probably it's just this incredible interest in other people's ideas that you don't see elsewhere, you know. Mm. I mean, because you always have artists are always coming up with different ways of looking at things, and I've always been kind of interested in that. And I always am interested in how people sort of explain themselves, you know. I mean, and artists do that better than anyone, particularly writers and painters and musicians and photographers you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's about self-expression, and that's what has always kind of fascinated me. And I have learned to see that creative self-expression is not just a function of the arts, but it can be a function of a lot of different things, from business to science to teaching to whatever. And I see that a lot. I see that all the time. I see people who are artists on nights and weekends applying their same sort of creativity to perhaps a day job that isn't part of their passion, but they still are able to apply some of the creative thinking to those to those jobs. And I've always been interested in how people do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, from my perspective, artists articulate things and communicate them, articulate things that perhaps we're not always aware of, and communicate them in a way that's often non-verbal. I know you're a writer, but in a way that reaches people that other means don't, I think. Is that something that you see as well?
Sure. I mean, we all experience, for instance, when you hear a really good piece of music and you're not a musician, what happens there? I mean, there is a certain buy-in in the very deep recesses of your soul there that you just kind of surrender to that.
Mm.
And it, you know, even if you're not a musician and you can't understand how they're doing it, you still are so kind of swept up in it. And it touches you in a way that nothing else can. And you can say the same thing about art. You can say the same thing about poetry, writing, a lot of things.
Yes.
And I tell people a lot that I'm a professional appreciator, and that's what I and that's what I do essentially.
Yes, yeah. You do also write fiction, and you had a recently released book, The Last Temptation of Lincoln. I was wondering if you can tell us a bit about what inspired this collection of short stories.
The Last Temptation of Lincoln is a collection of short stories that are sort of built around historical people and events. And so it's kind of a cheat in that I offer to you a story that you know a little bit about, because you know who Abraham Lincoln is, you know who Oscar Wilde is, you know who you know what the Apollo 11 moon landing is, you know what these things are.
Yeah.
I offer a comical kind of speculative alternative to these particular events and people in a way that obviously it's obviously fiction. Obviously what I write about is not history. It didn't happen, but in a way it illuminates who these people were and who they are in our imagination. So that's kind of what I was aiming at with
those. Oh, interesting. And you're following in good footsteps, because obviously Shakespeare never wrote an original, you know, theme story. He just took stories that already pre-existed. So
right, all the history plays that Shakespeare did.
I think pretty much everything he wrote was based on something that pre-existed, but obviously the way he wrote it was phenomenal. So great tradition in many areas of art to do that.
So you heard it here. My book is equal to Shakespeare. You said that. So,
and I think Shakespeare's first name was actually Wallace.
That's right. That's right.
So you've also adapted one of the stories for the stage, producing Oscar's Wallpaper in Santa Cruz. What drew you to want to write a play?
Well, I wrote the story about Oscar Wilde's famous last words, which was something to the effect of, "This wallpaper is dreadful. Either it must go or I," right? And I thought, you know, that sounded a little too perfect to be just kind of off the top of his head. So I wrote this story in which he composed this last quote, and he was working really hard at it on his deathbed. And it was a story that turned out to be just dialogue, essentially, between he and his pal who was with him. So I just kind of readily adapted that to the play and tried to make comic hay out of a man dying. So there you go.
It's interesting to fictionalize that, because I did read about Oscar Wilde that he did not come up with spontaneous, you know, these quips were not spontaneous. He did spend a lot of time working them out in advance, a bit like rappers do, you know, when they go and then go into contests, they have their little, you know, key things that then they put together. And
he was also extremely self-conscious about his public image, and he knew that people were going to want to know what his last words were. He was conscious of being on stage. So so I kind of played with that idea. And
what a pressure, though, to like your last good quip, you know.
Right. I'm Oscar Wilde. I have to have something great to say.
Yeah,
so that's kind of where that came from. And I made it all up. I mean, the historical stuff is accurate of what we know. But
interesting. And moving on to you, Shmuel, the Guardian newspaper ran an article discussing how for 180 years people have questioned whether photography is art. And members of the Photographic Society of London, which I think was formed in 1853, complained that the new technique was too literal and unable to elevate the imagination as they felt traditional works of art did. And the idea of photography as a mechanical means of recording events has perpetuated to some extent. So I'm wondering, what elevates photography to art for you?
Well, I would think that what elevates photography to more than just snapshots or recording is that all of photography is done from a subjective perspective. And there's truly no objective way to shoot a picture, I don't think. You know, we're choosing what angle we're shooting it at. We're choosing what focal length, what lens we're using. We're choosing what shutter speed we're using. We're choosing how much contrast we want. So to me, it's different than the other arts in that, you know, the raw materials for a photograph are time and space, basically, and light. But that that we're still saying this is the way we see the world as a photographer.
Yeah. So in a way, it sounds like what you're saying is it's almost like a social construction. There's kind of a discourse that's going on between the photographer and what's happening and then the viewer of the photograph.
Absolutely. Ansel Adams actually was the one who said there's two people involved in every photograph. And I would admit one more, maybe. There's the photographer and the viewer.
Right.
So there's a conversation there. And there's actually the subject, too, in pictures with people in them. But, you know, the paints were invented, too, at one point.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting now with the advent of Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat that everyone takes pictures and posts them now. But I think what you can see when you go on your Facebook account, you can see the people who are really thinking about what images are and what images mean and what they can communicate.
What's a good picture for you? What makes you sit back and look at your work and feel that you captured what you wanted?
I think that that there's three elements. One is the composition, one is the content, and then the third one would be kind of competence, so three C's sort of, that there's something going on in the image, that it's composed well, and that the competence or the technique is, you know, figuring out what, once again, how to frame it, that there, what shutter speed to use, things like that. So that you look at a photograph, I think you might not be able to verbalize exactly what it's saying, but I think a successful photograph and probably many pieces of successful art, you come away knowing what it's about, even if you might not be able to verbalize that. This photograph is about this.
Yes.
It's about this person doing this at this moment.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the best photographs, like the best art that you're saying, have a kind of energy, or I don't know if that's the right word, but there's something intangible, isn't there, that comes from the work of art. Even, you know, non-visual arts like writing, you know, just feel something stirring in you or shivers or whatever. You know, there's something intangible there.
Right. And also, one thing that goes even further in a way is that it's the freezing of a moment. As opposed to video, which there's obviously film and video or art, but of a different kind. But it's taking this moment in time saying, we should look at this moment.
Yeah.
Because there's something going on in this moment that's important, that can tell us something about who we are or what we're doing.
Yeah, it's like the curation, really, of life. I read that there was some new, I don't know if it's an app or, I don't know, some device that you can put on you that's going to take photos every minute, 24 hours a day. So basically, it will just log your entire life, and you'll be able to go back and find any part of your life, you know. So if you forget a part of your life, you can just go back. And I was thinking, I'm really interested in the iconography icons of the memory. Can't pronounce that properly. You know, how we just, you think back to the past, and it's the same pictures you tend to see in your mind to represent certain times in your life. And I think that's very interesting and very powerful, what we choose and what we choose for ourselves, rather than just going, oh, what was I doing in 1982, you know, and having the means to do that. And
right.
Of course, you're doing that professionally, you know, you're curating those moments that you consider important enough to represent, you know, a larger picture.
Well, that is truly one of the amazing things of working for the daily newspaper of a community, in that we are creating, Wallace, myself, the other photographers and reporters are creating the historic record of our time here. So
right,
that when someone looks back 20 years from now or 50 years from now or 100 years from now and want to know what was going on in Santa Cruz County, it will be our words and images that will communicate that to them.
Yes. Yeah, that's interesting. You've also co-authored and photographically illustrated a selection of children's books. What attracts you about creating art for children?
Well, there's something, there's some simplicity to it that's just beautiful. And the books that I did with George Levinson, who passed away a number of years ago, was a wonderful Santa Cruz author and filmmaker, appeal to children across the country. Pumpkin Circle in particular, which is about George growing a pumpkin patch in his backyard from seeds to pumpkins to compost to seeds.
Right.
And it, we just worked together for about a year creating this book, is all over the country. It just, there's something about pumpkins too.
Right.
That's happy and optimistic, I think.
Yeah.
But that I will be in a library in Massachusetts or a friend's house in Michigan and their child just read Pumpkin Circle in school.
Wow. That's
pretty
beautiful. Cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, if you just joined us, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my two special guests from the arts this week, Wallace Bain, award-winning journalist and writer, and Shmuel Thaler, award-winning photographer and author. And together they have produced a new book, The Creatives Among Us, which celebrates the incredibly rich array of artists that are concentrated in Santa Cruz County in California. Just want to remind you again, if you're interested in getting more information about them, they both have great websites, shmuelthaler.com, which is shmuelthaler.com, and wallacebain.com, wallacebaine.com. And if you're interested in their book, The Creatives Among Us, which we're going to be talking about in detail after the break, you can go to 7angelspress.com, which is the number 7angelspress.com. We're going to go to a few messages now. We'll be back very soon.
Imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at AnandaScottsValley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's AnandaScottsValley.org or 338-YOGA.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made desserts in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Danielle and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito.
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my special guests from the arts this week, Wallace Bain and Shmuel Thaler. And they have collaborated, as I mentioned before the break, to produce a new book, The Creatives Among Us, which celebrates the amazingly rich array of artists concentrated particularly in Santa Cruz County in California. And the book features all the recipients of the Gail Rich Awards since their inception in 1997. So I was wondering, firstly, if you could just tell us a bit about Gail Rich, whoever, Wallace?
Gail was a person who was very steeped and involved in the arts as a volunteer mostly. She was a correspondent for the Sentinel. She would, you know, she would do feature stories on the arts. She worked on what was then called the Cultural Council, on First Night Santa Cruz, public radio, any number of things. She had her hands in all kinds of things, and she was kind of a symbol of volunteerism. It just so happened, it was just kind of a tragic coincidence that she died suddenly the year that we came up with this idea. And in fact, Gail was the very first person that I called when I came up with this idea, let's do this. I called her, who would be good for that. And so when she passed away suddenly, you know, nobody saw it coming. It just seemed like the easiest thing to do would be to honor her in this way. And it's been, it's certainly kept her life in the public consciousness. And I think we're both very proud of that.
And what was your motivation in initiating the awards? What were you hoping would come from giving awards?
Well, what I wanted to do essentially was offer a showcase of Shmuel's images, of his portraits, because he is just a fabulous portrait photographer. And if you look through this book, one of the things that has really impressed me, you know, over the last couple of months, I've been looking at these images over and over and over again, was that, you know, it seems to me that a lot of photographers have, you know, a handful of tricks that they will do in terms of poses or, you know, or whatever it is. Shmuel, it's almost like every image had a different idea behind it. And I just thought that was really remarkable. And so I, when we first began this thing, that's really what we wanted to do, is we wanted to have a section in the Sunday paper once a year for a showcase of Shmuel's portrait photography.
Oh, interesting.
And we wanted to focus on creative people in the community, in the fine arts, yes, but also in everything from business to philanthropy to, you know, we really wanted to put our arms around the entire creative community here. The people who sort of formed the personality of the collective personality of what Santa Cruz County was all about.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the book features fabulous black and white photography by you, Shmuel, and all the photos are completely unique. I'm wondering how you approach your subjects and their portraits in order to capture their sort of unique artistic being.
Well, I want to thank Wallace for those kind words. But, you know, one of the wonderful things about working as a photographer and a photojournalist is the collaborative nature of everything we do. So from working with Wallace to working with the subjects I'm taking pictures of. And the Gail Rich Awards brings that to another level. There's just an amazing ability to work together with the subject to say, hey, let's go take a picture of you. We want to communicate what you do in an interesting way. And some of the subjects get it more than others.
Right, yeah.
But it's an amazing thing to work together. And especially as the Gail Rich Awards has become this thing that's much bigger than whatever we intended it to be.
Yes.
I mean, once the Cultural Council associates got involved and there was an evening, there's an evening now that we have the Gail Rich Awards, which we fill the Rio Theater now. It's taken on a life of its own in that way. But the basis of going and talking to someone and saying, let's get a picture that shows who you are in an interesting way, is it's an amazing thing. And usually this is the kind of thing different than other things I do for my job, where I'll call someone and say, let's think about this for a couple of weeks, get back, we talk some more, we might get together twice to do it, as opposed to most of my job, I just show up someplace, we take a picture, and we're done.
Yeah.
And then the paper's either recycled or goes under the birdcage the next day. So the working together is an amazing process.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And the book features quite a few guests that I've had on my show, actually. I was having a look through. I've had Ellen Bass, Tandy Beal, Dina Scopitone, Richard Stockton, Kathleen Crocetti, Ray Brown, Jeffrey Dunn, Laurie R. King. And just from the guests that I've had on my show, it's clear the caliber of artists in the Santa Cruz area. And I understand you choose who receives the awards, Wallace, is that right?
That's right.
And and so I was wondering, how do you go about deciding who should be honored with a Gail Rich Award? What are the criteria?
They have to be nice people and they have to do something for me. it can just be buying me a sandwich. That would be sufficient. But no, actually, we do have sort of a giant master list where we just put all these names on there. And I kind of, every year we'll take that master list and sort of sculpt a list out of that. And here we are 20 years in, and we still haven't, I feel we haven't come close to exhausting all the people who are eligible for this and all the people who deserve this kind of recognition. This is really just kind of holding our champagne glasses up to people who work very hard at something. Most of them don't make a lot of money at it, if at all. Most of them don't really get a whole lot of recognition. This is our time to just stand up and toast them once a year. And a lot of people deserve that. And, we try to be as wide-ranging as possible each year. We try to include any number of disciplines that we can. We're aware that, there isn't a painter or a visual artist on this list. Let's see if we can represent someone along those lines. There's kind of an art to it, a little bit of putting together this list. But I always tell people, if you've been working hard in this community at creative self-expression and you haven't been honored with this, just wait. I mean, it's going to happen. So as long as
you can stay alive long enough.
If we can stay alive long enough, yeah. Well,
and then, yeah. Well, the book is possible due to this incredibly high concentration of professional, highly talented artists in the Santa Cruz area. What is it about the area, do you think, that attracts such a density of quality artists?
What do you think?
There's something about the fabric of the community that allows people to do this, that supports people in their self-expression. But I think the birth of it must be from way before either of us were here. I mean, I've only been in Santa Cruz since 1982. So when I got here, as a lot of other people I'm sure had the similar experience, there was something about this place, this town, this county, this community that felt like it was supportive of people's creative self-expression. So I think that there's something in the DNA here, and I don't know whether it's
in the natural environment or in the community of people here, or both.
I think certainly both. What do you think, Walsam?
I asked a very prominent artist that question once, and he said that this is there is energy coming out of the earth here from the earthquake. Seismic energy
came from that,
coming out of the and I'm like, okay.
So that's one reason.
If you say so, there's one reason. It's certainly not the low rents and wide open freeways. We know that.
Yes, exactly.
I would say that a lot of this has to do with UCSC establishing itself here 50 years ago and turning this community into something else. It was a sleepy retirement community before that. And after that, it became kind of a place where the counterculture was sort of embraced a little bit. And with that embrace of the counterculture came an embrace of creative spirits of all kinds. I think we've moved quite a bit beyond that. I think a lot of the artists here are now very established artists. It's not quite as heady and crazy as it was perhaps in the late 60s or the early 70s. But I still think that sort of spirit prevails here, and people want to be here, and it's a beautiful place to live. Of course, so is Monterey, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara. All those places are beautiful, but there is a certain something that this community has that perhaps those don't. A sort of Berkeley by the beach sort of aesthetic, I guess you could call it, or something that where kindred spirits kind of feel comfortable coming together. And my goodness, we just have them hanging out of the trees around here, these arty types.
I love the title of the book, The Creatives Among Us. I think it's very evocative, and all art is about communication. I'm wondering what you're hoping to communicate through The Creatives Among Us.
You mean the book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, for one thing, I would like the people in the book to have some, you know, something they can hold in their hands that feels like they belong in a community of artists. And that's really what this is. When you look at this book and you thumb through it, you just get this real strong sense of community. These people are all neighbors, you know. They're all friends, and well, they're not all friends, but they all, you know, they will be if
allies,
I have anything to do with
it. Art.
You know, and I mentioned in the foreword in the book, I've been around long enough where you can go through some of these neighborhoods in Santa Cruz and other places, and you can just point to that house. There, you know, a poet lives there, that house, a filmmaker lives there, that house, an open studios painter. I mean, that's just how it is around here. And it's just it's just a unique and precious kind of environment. And we should really be appreciative of that.
Yeah. I mean, with Shmuel's photography, it's definitely also a great coffee table book, I think, you know, like a fine art coffee table book, isn't
it? It's a great holiday gift, actually,
yes,
is what it is.
But I mean, even without, you know, anything else, I mean, it's got so much going for it. But I think the photographs, as you said earlier, Wallace, you wanted to be able to showcase them, and they are really beautiful, and I think they do capture, and your words about each artist, just the richness of what creativity can mean, not necessarily just in Santa Cruz, but for all of us.
Right. And you know, even though obviously there are, as Wallace said, the list is never ending in a way.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who aren't included in the book that we wish were there, because, you know, there's so many wonderful artists and supporters of the arts in Santa Cruz County. However, it is a really nice document saying, okay, at this time in this place, this was the vibe, this was the creative juice, this was what was going on.
Yes, yeah. And also, it's a non-profit venture, so you're also hoping, I think, that the book will benefit the Arts Council.
Absolutely.
Arts Council Santa Cruz County, sorry, and the Gail Richwood's reception event.
That's our goal. That's our goal, is that it provides something other than just the book, that it provides some financial support for that.
Yes, and I always think it's important with things like that, you know, that the work stands on its own as a piece of art, and that the fact that it benefits anything is a side thing. And I think your book definitely does that, you know. So I think people can just buy it for, you know, artistic reasons, and then just have that little warm feeling that they're also helping something. So it's a lovely book.
And we also want to mention that we're going to have our annual Gail Rich Awards reception performance in January at the Rio Theater. Is that date the 28th?
January 27th. Wednesday, January 27th. I believe. I'm going to hope I don't regret that I said that, but I'm pretty sure it's
the last Wednesday in January.
And, okay.
It's just a great event. It's just a lot of hugs, a lot of love, and a lot of appreciation. And that's been put on by the Cultural Council Associates for many years now. And we're very appreciative of the work they do in putting that together. And it's a free event. And we really want people to come out to that. And we want them to come out to the book signing as well on the 23rd.
And if I could put it another shameless plug.
Of course, the Cabrillo thing.
There's all 149 of the portraits will be on display in January and February at the Cabrillo Gallery at Cabrillo College.
Oh, great.
And January 30th, the Saturday, is the reception at the gallery. And then February 6th at the Crocker Theater at Cabrillo College, there'll be a performance by quite a number of the Gail Rich alumni.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a really fun evening.
So it's kind of a rolling lot of events coming up all to do with this.
It's a fun time.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time, and it's been lovely hearing more about your work. So
thank you very much.
And I just want to let listeners know again, if you're local, you'll be able to meet Wallace and Schmuel on the 23rd of November, 7 p.m. at Bookshop Santa Cruz. You can find out more information about that event at bookshopsantacruz.com. And if you're interested in this new book, The Creatives Among Us, you can purchase it at 7angelspress.com. That's the number 7angelspress.com. And just to remind you again that both Wallace and Schmuel have great websites. So it's Schmuel Thaler, SchmuelThaler.com, and Wallace Bain, WallaceBaine.com. And also, just to remind you that if you enjoy this podcast, you can go to my website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, and tell your friends about it, put it on social media and say, this is a great podcast. And check out previous podcasts too. And if you want to connect on social media with me, that would be great. I always like to hear from you. I hope you have a good week, and I'll see you next week.